to get the steal. Chance for a hat trick. Sergio Aguero.
He's got it. At the buzzer.
Here's Alexis Sanchez. What a finish.
Four against Bradley for three. John Wall. What a shot.
Yeah, no. Barcelona's always the best. I couldn't help rushing up.
Oh my gosh. It's an unbelievable breaking.
Roger has won the Grand Slam again. The one and only.
He pitched in the three. He got it.
Take down the turrets. They did it. RNG Roe, you'll never give up.
Amazing. Equalized. He did it.
He got again. Totti, the king of Rome.
9.
8.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3. 2.
1.
Go!
Sports news happened this week. Firstly, Manchester City's players deserve all the credit for their achievement this season, says boss Pep Guardiola. City host Real's Manchester United and Etihad Stadium on Sunday, knowing victory will clinch their third Premier League title. With six matches left, it would be the earliest a team has won the competition in terms of the date and games played.
The coach's reputation is good enough to reflect their ability. It's really exciting for them. Then the next, Joe Thompson and Jay Jones won gold for England in a men's and women's Commonwealth para triathlon. In a dramatic men's race, Australia's Bill Chaffee collided with the barrier allowing Thompson. Then third, the passing before holding Chaffee's teammate Nick Beveridge to snatch gold.
I don't know if you heard of the Glasgow 2014 bronze medalist Jones, 22, caught the home nation's roaring Park during the final stage. A late crash then saw Parker surrender silver to teammate Emily Tapp. Gold medal winner Jones said, "I was always chasing, which is tough mentally. But to push through was great. Anybody who knows me knows how much this means to me.
I have only been doing para triathlon for 18 months. And although I have made a lot of improvements, I still have a long way to go." The inaugural Commonwealth Games para triathlon began with a staggered start, determined by athletes' disability subclass.
And they competed over a 750 meters open water swim, a 20 kilometers head bike, and a 5 kilometers long segment on race wheelchairs. England's Neil Wilson won his second gold medal of the Commonwealth Games in the men's all-around final, as his teammate James Hall took silver.
Another piece of news. Hall and Wilson won gold in the men's team final on Thursday, and the two gymnasts continued their fine form in a closely fought competition. Wilson, nursing a wrist injury, went into the final rotation and joined first place with Marius George of Cyprus, but the 22-year-old posted 15.100 on the horizontal bar to steal victory.
"That was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had," said Wilson. "It was a battle on the high bar. You can't ride it to finish the way like it did. That was one of the best high bars I have put together."
Moreover, police in Canada have confirmed that 14 people were killed when a lorry and a bus carrying a junior ice hockey team collided on Friday evening. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police said 28 people, including the driver, were on the bus, 14 of whom were killed.
In a tweet, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau wrote, "I can't imagine what these parents are going through." The Humboldt Broncos Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League were en route to a playoff game against the Napwing Hawks.
England's Alice Taylor and Johnny Brownlee, Leslie Amont and Vicky Holland had to settle for silver as Australia to gold in a triathlon mixed team relay at the Commonwealth Games. The two teams broke clear early on, before the reigning world champions took a decisive lead on leg three. Olympic champion Alistair gave chase but was unable to catch individual silver medalist Jacob Broussard. Earlier, John Townsend and Jay Jones won gold in the paratriathlon events.
In the mixed relay event, two women and two men from each nation complete a 300 meters sweep, 7.5 kilometers circle and a 1.5 kilometers run before heading over to a teammate. The Brownlee brothers, having both failed to win a medal in the individual event on day one, had hopes of replicating England's Commonwealth gold in the event at Glasgow 2014.
Well, that's all for this week's World Sports News. The next is Highlight Game. See you next week at the same time. I'm Ella. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's Highlight Game. I'm Letty.
Hi, I'm Matt. Today we come to talk about competition between Cleveland Cavaliers and Philadelphia 76ers on April 4th. The former has experience of championship and the latter has a lot of young gun, so the game is very interesting.
First, we are into the most crucial study stage. The Cavaliers were defeated with 130 to 132 by 76. It almost turned the table. The 76ers have won 13 consecutive games, ranking 3rd in the East. Ben Simmons scored 27 points, 15 rebounds and 13 assists, while JJ Redick scored 28 points, and Robert Covington, 11, substituted Marco Gallinelli, 23 points. Elson Arosova, 17 points and 11 rebounds.
While the Cavs, they finished with 5 straight wins and fell to 4th in the East, LeBron James scored 44 points, 11 rebounds and 11 assists. With Jeff Green shot 5 of 6 shots, scoring 73 points, and Kevin Love had 70 points and 9 rebounds. For both teams, that was a key battle. Before the game, the two sides were close. The Cavs 3rd and the 76ers 4th. After the 76ers won, they were the 3rd in the East, with the half-court advantage over the Cavaliers.
You know that the 76ers were the hottest team. It had 12 straight wins. But during the winning streak, most of the teams exclude the playoffs. The last 6 of them didn't enter the playoffs. They didn't go through the test of a strong team. After Embiid's absence, the Cavs are back on their strongest condition. After Love backing, they have been in good shape recently. In this battle, the Cavaliers fell early and fought very hard.
So, let's go to the highlight part. The two teams went through a see-through game, and after 11-11, Johnson scored a touchdown, Redick hit 3 points, and 76ers scored 8 points. Quickly outscoring them, the Cavaliers' defensive problems occurred, and 76ers continued to bloom in and out of the game, with Bellinelli hitting 3 points and Homo sliding the basket into double digits. After the first quarter, the 76ers took a 41-28 lead.
The 76 people maintained the heart. In the second section, it didn't widen the gap. Redick hit 3 points, and the 76ers led with a margin of 78-48. Cavaliers were also good, but defense was poor. The 76ers continued to make 3 points. Green scored 5 points, and the Cavaliers ended the section 7-0 with a 55-78 lead in the first half.
Yeah, the Cavs hit back in the second half. Osman James scored 3 points in the third quarter to make it 74-18. Love also opened fire on the outside, and the Cavaliers made 6 3 points in this quarter. In the third quarter, with 23.9 seconds left, James broke through the threat and inside, and Cavs left behind only 98-105.
James, that guy is incredible. With the leading of James, Cavaliers began to fight back from a time when they were 30 points behind, and the last section saw the hope of a turn. With 4 minutes and 26 seconds left in the game, James broke the guard again, and the Cavaliers trailed by 118-121. At a critical moment, Redick scored twice, and after hitting 3 points, the 76ers reopened the gap with 128-120.
The Cavs still didn't give up. When the game was 12.4 seconds, Green made 3 points and the Cavs scored 7 points to make it 127-128. In 2 of the 2 free throws, the 76ers were 3 points ahead and invincible. The Cavs had 9 seconds to survive. At the same time, James advanced to the front, but the 76ers also took foreplay and sent him to the free throw line.
Now the point. James had 2 free throws, and 2 were still 1 point apart. 76ers were still ahead by 3 points in 2 separate penalties, but there was only 3.3 seconds left, and the Cavaliers served in the backcourt. And after James took the ball and shot the ball outside the 3-point line, the referee blew the foul. James missed the second penalty and missed the chance. The last penalty, intentionally missed. Nessie grabbed the rebound but failed to hit. The Cavaliers fell short. What a pity.
Definitely, the Cavs missed their significant moment to redeem. On the contrary, the 76ers' capacity was viewed by all of the fans. That's even more great. And also, congratulations to both of them to get to the playoffs. Bye!
There's glitter on the floor after the party.
Hello, our dear audience. Welcome to the weekly 4C. I'm Steve.
I'm Cassio. Today, let's say something about NBA. The Rockets will fend against Thunder at home. Once they win, the Rockets will win 65. At the same time, the game is critical to Thunder, and if the visitors lose, it may even be kicked out of the top 8 in the West.
The Rockets beat Trailblazers when Mr. Ross Portland is out of the game. But they have won very breathtaking. In less than 4 minutes, they lead 17 points. The Trailblazers had to keep back all the way. In turn, at the last minutes, Rockets was tired. Fortunately, pull a no out. Just make the Rocket muttering through. It doesn't matter if the game wins or loses, but a game like this gives the Rockets a lift. And in any case, they can't be too lax.
That's correct. In another hand, Gordon and Blake are doubtful for the game while Anderson is still missing from his ankle. For Rockets, the team can play with the team and do whatever they want. But for the Thunder, they are already in a disparate situation because the Pelicans have been pushed into 7th place in the West. Once they lose, the situation can be very worrying.
Exactly. In the last 3 games, Thunder's opponents were Rockets, Heat, and the Grizzlies. However, on April the 4th, the Oklahoma City home was a 107-111 loss to the Warriors. What's more interesting is that Wade is expected to win double 3 in the next 3 games. So long as he can get 41 rebounds and 22 assists in the next 3 games, he will be able to finish the second consecutive season.
Now let's focus on the star pair, Harden versus Westbrook. Two different styles of these two players. Will first night fire. This season can get 25.6 points, 9.9 rebounds, 10.1 assists. Harden's play, however, is focused on skill and rhythm, averaging 30.6 points, 5.4 rebounds, and 8.7 assists per game this season. Considering the relationship between the two, I wonder what Sparks will be on court this time.
Yeah, and looks like Harden has regarded the regular season's first as unimportant. Our ultimate goal is only one, to win the championship, and we won't have any celebration until we do, Harden said in an interview. We've seen so many different defenses throughout the season, and the team is ready. We have a way to deal with Paul and me. Keep trying and keep improving, as you've always done.
So let's wait to see the great performances. At the same time, Spurs take on the Blazers at home. Considering the heat of the playoffs for Spurs, the last three games are a matter of life and death, and they will try to win every game. This season, Leonardo played only 9 games because of injury. The Spurs also encountered the biggest challenge in recent years. The team wins more than 15 in 18 consecutive years of record to an end. Even more severe situation. So far, the Spurs have yet not to knock in the playoffs. The competition is particularly fierce in the West, with only one game between the Pelicans, which ranks 9th in the Western Conference.
At present, the Spurs rank 6th in the West and Pelicans and the record the same with Thunder. At the season last 3 regular games, they're in the home game against Portland and Sacramento, and fight against the Pelicans in the end, which team's opponents are all playoff teams. So the Pelicans is more likely need to try their best for the playoffs. As a result, the last 3 games are a matter of life and death for the Spurs. They need to win every game before they can take the initiative in their own hands.
Good luck to them, and that's all for today's Weekly Foresee. I'm Cassio. Bye.
I'm Steve. See you next time. Bye.
Hi everyone, it's your man. I'm Alex and welcome back for our program. Today, we're gonna lead you to a highly contact team sport called rugby union. Rugby union, commonly known in most of the world as rugby, originated in England in the first half of the 19th century. One of the two codes of rugby football, it is based on running with the ball in hand. In its most common form, a game is between two teams of 15 players using an oval-shaped ball on a rectangular field with H-shaped goalposts on each try line. Rugby union is a popular sport around the world, played by male and female players of all ages. In 2014, there were more than 6 million people playing worldwide, of whom 2.36 million were registered players. World Rugby, previously called the International Rugby Football Board and the International Rugby Board, has been the governing body for rugby union since 1886 and currently has 101 countries as full members and 18 associate members. Rugby union spread from the home nations of Great Britain and Ireland and was absorbed by many of the countries associated with the British Empire. Early exponents of the sport included Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and France. Countries that have adopted rugby union as their national sport include Fiji, Georgia, Madagascar, New Zealand, Samoa, Tonga, and Wales. International matches have taken place since 1871, when the first game took place between Scotland and England at Raven Place in Edinburgh. The Rugby World Cup, first held in 1987, takes place every 4 years. The Six Nations Championship in Europe and the Rugby Championship in the Southern Hemisphere are other major international competitions held annually. But when it started to become well known, the origin of rugby football is reputed to be an incident during a game of English school football at rugby school in 1823, when William Webb Ellis is said to have picked up the ball and run with it. Although the evidence for the story is doubtful, it was immortalized at a school with a plaque unveiled in 1995. Despite the doubtful evidence, the Rugby World Cup trophy is named after Webb Ellis. Rugby football stems from the form of game played at rugby school, which former pupils then introduced to their university. The first rugby football international was played on March 27, 1871, between Scotland and England in Edinburgh. Scotland won the game 1-0. By 1881, both Ireland and Wales had representative teams. And in 1883, the first international competition, the Home Nations Championship, had begun. 1883 is also the year of the first Rugby Sevens tournament, the Melrose Sevens, which is still held annually. Two important overseas tours took place in 1888. A British Isles team visited Australia and New Zealand, although a private venture, it laid the foundations for future British and Irish Lions tours. And the 1888-89 New Zealand native football team brought the first overseas team to British spectators. When the sport steps into the professionalism, in 1987 the first Rugby World Cup was held in Australia and New Zealand, and the inaugural winners were New Zealand. The first World Cup Sevens tournament was held in Murrayfield in 1993. Rugby Sevens was introduced into the Commonwealth Games in 1998 and has been added to the Olympic Games of 2016. Rugby union was an amateur sport until the IRB declared the game open in August 1995, removing restrictions on payments to players. However, the pre-1995 period of rugby union was marked by frequent accusations of shamateurism, including an investigation in Britain by a House of Commons Select Committee in early 1995. Following the introduction of professionalism, transnational club competitions were started, with the Heineken Cup in the Northern Hemisphere and Super Rugby in the Southern Hemisphere. As a highly contact sport, watching rugby games is real fun. Unfortunately, it's not so welcome in our country. So hopefully everyone can try to enjoy this kind of sport right now. That's all for today's Yo Man. Thanks for listening. I'm Alex. See you next time. Bye.
Welcome to Days of Great, I'm Colin. There have been many great race car drivers through racing history, but almost none of them have achieved what Michael Schumacher has during his entire career. A motorsport enthusiast since childhood, Schumacher, whose career spans from the late 80s up until now, has achieved almost everything a race car driver could wish for. World champions, lap records, most wins, most podiums, countless awards, etc. This is why, according to many experts, he is one of the most important and influential sportsmen in Formula One history, and perhaps in racing history too. Michael Schumacher's origins were as ordinary as any other person alive. He grew up in a small town in Germany, where his father ran a small kart track, where Michael and his brother Ralph, who is also a Formula One driver, would drive small karts that their father built for them. Around that time, his passion for motorsports started to grow dramatically, even after suffering some accidents in his small machine. Like crashing into a lamppost several times, he started to compete in many regional kart championships, where he would win frequently. His parents, realizing his son's potential, arranged many sponsorship deals with the wheel enthusiasts that helped the young Michael to work his way up the ranks. Between 1986 and 1990, Michael won many national and European competitions, including the German and European kart championships, his greatest triumphs yet. He His winning streak continued through much of the late 80s. He also won many races in Japan and Mexico. He managed to clinch the German Formula 3000 championship in 1992. This achievement caught the attention of many Formula 1 team principals who saw Michael a future Formula 1 star. In 1991, he tested for some Formula 1 teams who were impressed by Michael's speed. During one of these tests at Silverstone, England, he greatly impressed Jordan Grand Prix team principal, Eddie Jordan, who at the time was looking for a driver who could replace Ferdinand Gaucho behind the wheels of one of his cars. Michael convinced him that he would not disappoint him, and with some help from Benny Ecclestone, he made his Formula 1 debut at the Belgian Grand Prix of that year, where he shocked the entire world by delivering a great performance even though he was a rookie. Michael's long-time dream of making it into Formula 1 became a reality that October. After only one but a very impressive race during the maiden season in Formula 1, he was quickly snatched by Benetton team. Thanks to the smart negotiations between Michael's agent and Tom Walkinshaw, who at the time was a key member in the team. With his new team, Michael spent four great seasons. During the first two, Michael kept demonstrating to the world why he was considered by many the next king of Formula 1. Especially after showing that he was capable of winning races despite of being driving a bad car. A good example of this happened during the Grand Prix in Portugal in 1993, where he beat four-time world champion Alan Prost and another former world champion Ayrton Senna. Michael considers this race one of his best. Michael reached the pinnacle of motorsports in 1994 when he became Formula 1 world champion after a very dramatic season. In 1995, he repeated his feat when he clinched the championship again, thus becoming a two-time Formula 1 world champion. In 1996, Michael was signed by Formula 1 giant Scuderia Ferrari. This move was celebrated by many of his fans and Michael, who was proud of being part of the Italian team. However, his first year in Ferrari was rough due to the unreliability of the car. The very tough competitions he had in the likes of Damon Hill, Jacques Villeneuve, and Mika Häkkinen, and also an accident he suffered at the British Grand Prix in 1999, where he broke his legs. In the year 2000, Michael won the title for the third time in his career, after an epic and grueling battle with Mika Häkkinen. Michael describes his race in the Japanese Grand Prix of the year as one of the best races I have ever driven. If not the best, to win a race like that is very special. Michael also gave Ferrari their first championship in 21 years. During the next 4 years, Michael won and achieved almost everything a Formula 1 driver and a sportsman could wish for. He won the world champions 4 years in succession in a very dominant fashion. He broke almost every record in Formula 1, like most races wins, most podium finishes, pole positions, lap records, points, clean sweeps and countless more that, according to many experts, making him one of the best drivers in Formula 1 history. He also won many awards, including the FIA Driver Award, Sports Illustrated Magazine 2005, Sportsman of the Year. Curiously, he broke another record in the category by becoming the only sportsman in history to nominated for the award more than 5 times. His dominance of Formula 1 came to an end when the young Spaniard Fernando Alonso won the world championship, thus ending Schumacher's winning streak. Nevertheless, his achievement and legacy will hardly ever be forgotten. Michael Schumacher is not considered one of the finest drivers in the sports just because of his achievements, but for his dedication, high energy level, work ethics and generosity, which has shown many times by helping the less fortunate. Michael is the best example of what a true race car driver and a sportsman in general should be. That's all for today's The Great. See you next time.
Cast, producer, Ada, Xu Yang. Anchor,
Letty, 雷霆
Steve, 赵月央
Journalist,
Cassio, 倪文
Colin, 韩文轩
Alex, 张恒琪
William, 段玉锦
Carmel, 王玉梦
Matt, 贡嘎旺九
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。